Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of June. And this is the big picture, long-term outlook. But first, let's have a quick look at the week. Now, I mentioned that Friday, the 13th. I've always regarded that as a lucky day, largely because I was born on a Friday, the 13th, not this one. But I hope you regard it as a lucky day, or I hope it's been a reasonably lucky day here for you as well. Now, let's first have a look at what's happened here in the markets this week. And Japan, steady here, up 0.8% on the Nikkei 225, and the topics, TSE 2, second section index, has been on a persistent run in here over the last three to four weeks. So that's good news overall, and it's in line with my medium-term theory that the pattern that we are looking at on Japan is a very lengthy medium-term consolidation prior to a resumption of the overall bull market. Why? Well, first, the Shinzo Abe regime is doing everything they can. They're throwing money at the system here to, it's a bit massive QE program here to defeat deflation, which they have done at least in the short term, and will probably ensure stays low, and also to revive the economy, revive the stock market, break out of that long deflationary cycle. So there's a lot of concern that this will all fail or cause other big problems. I think those concerns are a little bit exaggerated myself. And what we do know, at least, is that this type of monetary policy is very good for financial assets. And if you don't have an investment in Japan, I think it's certainly worth worth considering here overall. Now, will the monetary policies also help the Japan economy sufficiently to give some substance to the stock market rally that's actually occurring? That's the bigger question. I think it will, but the surer, or the greater certainty, I should say, is that in the lengthy medium term here, that this monetary policy will remain supportive of the Japanese stock market, which is a buy on weakness. The biggest risk to Japan, in my opinion, is not what everybody's talking about, and they'll usually cite the fact that the population's declining, that the deflation's entrenched, that the debts will be going up. Well, various different things that Japan's lost its way and so on. For me, the biggest threat is the tension with China, and that's not going to go away. But hopefully, both countries, particularly China, it's not Japan who's inciting these incidents. hopefully, China will be responsible and sensible in this, but it's an indication that they are a bit under pressure, but they're also flexing their muscles a little bit because they've got a much stronger economy relative to the rest of Asia than they had ever before, in at least in modern history. Okay, elsewhere, Vietnam also steady. Now, Vietnam was also kiboshed for a while by China. Vietnam is a stock market that I really like as a long-term recovery, and the one proviso there is that Vietnam does not need China to be drilling any more oil wells within what are arguably Vietnam's territorial waters. So that's what knocked the market down. It's regained at least three-quarters, four-fifths of that decline, and I think it'll continue higher, as I say, over the lengthy medium term. India was down a bit in here today. This is certainly a hugely promising market. Sensex index, it's its first big decline in a month. Well, I don't want to exaggerate. It was down 1.36%, brought the index back to 25,228. Now, the reason for that here really is you might have seen the headlines that I saw, but in Odisha, I think that's the way it's pronounced, Odisha, region of India. Now that's in the sort of northeastern region of the country. So if you look at the map on the right-hand side of India and in the facing the Bay of Bengal, and in Odisha, the temperature reached, I think it was a record 45 degrees centigrade. Can you just imagine that? What an absolute nightmare. And not just one day event. It's been hot for a while, and it's predicted to stay hot for a while. And the trouble is that India's monsoon season, which is extremely important because their whole irrigation system is pretty backward, as you probably know. What that monsoon season is really from June through September, or to September, and it really hasn't started yet, and that could cause a problem, and that's what the stock market there has worried about. If we don't see a reasonably decent monsoon in India, that will delay Narendra Modi's economic revival program, because it will first it will be expensive, and it will make it harder for him to lower some of the subsidies on fuel bills that the previous government was piling on. It would slow India's growth, and it would also push inflation higher, and making it tougher for Rajaram Rajan to reduce interest rates. So that would be a delay in the recovery. I mean, my view on India, I think you know, is that if that market comes back, pick it up, because I think, India, provided it doesn't get five bad monsoons in a year, which would be like a deadly plague, that and then the Sensex index could double from that 25,000 level over the next 5 years. Okay, what else to talk about? Rest of Asia mixed in here today. But the whole region is interesting on a medium to longer term basis, in my opinion. Now, looking just get back to the weekly review here. Looking at the European stock markets today, they were mostly a little bit lower, and exceptions were Spain and Italy, which had tiny, tiny gains today. The problem is do we see it as just an overall general global corrective phase in here? That's obviously one of them, because we've had a good overall run in the last many months. And the other factor is energy prices. That's also a problem, a concern for India and any other developing economy, because we have had this ISIL, I believe that's Iraq, Syria, Iran, and Libya, producing the acronym, this fanatical Sunni group that they say is even more radical than the Taliban. That's reassuring, isn't it? A bit of a 8th century caliphate here. And they have, as you know, invaded Iraq with the overall ambition here to control Iraq, Syria, Iran, and Lebanon. Basically, this is a new Sunni, or the revival of the historic long-term Sunni Shia civil war that we have seen. But it's a threat, I think, to Iraq's oil production capabilities. Now, the Maliki region, Sunni regime in Baghdad is saying, you know, that no problem, that everything's well defended. Well, I know that's brave talk, but the speed with which their troops all just dropped their weapons and uniforms and fled in front of the ISIL is hardly hardly reassuring. So this is a worry, and you may feel we didn't need this worry. I don't think we did. It's a little bit, hopefully it doesn't turn into a full-blown black swan type of development, but not that many people were, and certainly I wasn't talking about ISIL when I did my last big picture big picture audio a few weeks ago. So that's a concern. And those, I was talking about the European stock markets, but being concerned about the, those rising oil prices, and they were a little bit firmer in here today as well. Now, Wall Street, a little bit of bravado after its decline earlier in the week, closing with 0.25% plus gains here today. And long-dated government bonds near that the U.S. 10-year near that 2.6 level. It's going to take its cue from stock markets. If we had oil prices spike, let's grasp that nettle here, because that's the immediate concern. And it would be very serious. Veteran subscribers will know that I've talked about this. My goodness, we go right back to the 1970s. And you get a spike in prices of crude oil, and that's devastating for economies. It's a real shock to economies and stock markets. And the last time that happened in a serious way was, of course, in 2008, and it didn't get the credit that it deserved, except from this site, in terms of the impact that it had on that meltdown. Yes, of course, there was this huge credit crisis problem, and arguably that was, well, definitely that was more serious in terms of the lengthy medium term, several year implications as we've been seeing, but that oil spike was also a big problem. And it was caused by fears and a lot of speculation. And I just hope we don't get, in other words, people piling into oil futures and driving the price up. I hope we don't get too much of that in this current current round. Okay, now what else to mention in here? As far as those interest rates are concerned, the I'm talking about things like the U.S. 10-year and other government bond markets. They are at attractively low levels here right now. Now, if we don't have a big oil crisis and we bumble along with this gradually improving economy overall, then those oil prices will eventually, I beg your pardon, those bond yields will eventually move somewhat higher. Because there will be further evidence that disinflation is not going to persist over the long term, and that inflationary pressures will push up somewhat in line with all the monetary reflation that is actually occurring. And at the meantime here, this is to say this will continue to take its cue from what happens in stock markets. So spike in oil prices, if that were to occur, I hope not, but it's a risk. If that occurs, then you get stock markets getting a very sharp downward reaction, that long-awaited 10% plus correction on Wall Street, and other stock markets moving similarly, or more so, given their beta factors, or subject to their various beta factors. And the economic recovery is delayed. Now, if this problem is contained, if the oil production continues and we don't get a serious disruption, then I think you will see growth will hold up and gradually continue to improve over the next few years in a sort of a somewhat erratic basis, but definitely more, excuse me, evidence of overall improvement rather than deterioration. And that would be good for stock markets for the most part. And we would see those bond yields rise higher overall. Now, just going back to just step back and mention China here, which I should have mentioned when I was looking at the other Asian Pacific markets. A bit of an enigma here overall. It depends what sectors you're in terms of how you've done, if you have any China investments. Anything that was in the consumer sector has done pretty well overall. But the broader market during this Chinese restructuring process has been really quite weak. It's picking up gradually, and I think the technical action, as I described yesterday, looks reasonably attractive. Have a look at that on a one-day basis on the SHA-SHAR index, and I think this will actually be improving. China has a huge oil stockpile, by the way, so they could withstand higher prices better than some countries, such as European countries. I mean, to me, I know the reasons for all this, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it strikes me as just unbelievably complacent that, you know, you remain dependent on Russia and the Middle East for your oil when you could produce your own shale, but they won't do that, and they're commendable effort to create green energy is not reliable enough at this stage to do the job sufficiently. Oh, but there we are. You've heard me say that before. What else can we look at in here? Well, how about some of these commodities? Now, I've been mentioning since I got back this week that you look at those staple grains and beans, those prices have really been quite soft. And I reviewed them yesterday and I said they were probably overextended on the downside. I think they're short positions in the market and they are obviously discounting a favorable sowing process for those crops in both the USA, most of the USA, and also in Europe. But there's a long way between the sowing process and the actual harvest. So let's hope the market reaction is right and that we don't have any significant crop damages in those regions and that that keeps inflationary pressures from food prices, at least in terms of those staple grains and beans, keeps their prices low enough not to be damaging for economies. Now, so that's a keep your fingers crossed here because it's a weather and disease and pest punt overall. But so far, off to a good start. At the opposite end of the spectrum here is we have the very high prices for meats and particularly for cattle. And also with pigs, and that's produced some inflationary pressures in China for sure, and elsewhere. So the meat costs are considerably higher, whereas the crops have come down. There's two other exceptions to that: cocoa and coffee. And cocoa is still moving higher, and coffee saw some significant damage in Brazil due to their weather problems. So over the medium term and lengthy medium term, I think we will see higher costs in terms of coffee and cocoa, but not the staple grains, which are of course more important. Now, let's look at the metal sectors here. Start with the precious metals. It's been absolutely fascinating seeing the strength that we saw in palladium and platinum. I think people got a little bit carried away there on the basis, well, it was a momentum play, and so they weren't carried away on that basis. That was very clear. But then people start extrapolating reasons to support it, and from the collapse of the Soviet Union to the more realistic talk of the, well, I didn't say that, problems for South Africa. And they both countries produce the palladium, especially Russia for on palladium, and especially South Africa on the platinum. And so again, wage problems in South Africa. But I think those moves got ahead of themselves, and we have been in a reaction phase. We saw those big downward dynamics last week, and oh, I beg your pardon, yesterday we saw those big downward dynamics in platinum and palladium, and that signaled to me the highs had been reached for at least the medium term. So I don't expect them to be taken out quickly, in other words. They also weakened a little bit further here today after being firm in early trading, but palladium down $5 today, and platinum down $5.80, say well off their earlier highs today. Now, Owen wrote about, and I certainly think this is very much the case, that there were some pair trades in there as well. And the people, in other words, had been long platinum and palladium and short gold and silver. And there has been an awful lot of jawboning, as you know, over the last few months. If you're interested in gold and silver, you will have seen articles on this, trying to talk those markets down for all sorts of reasons. Including many of the big investment bank groups. Well, they're having a struggle getting those markets to go down to the $1,000 level for gold, which they were forecasting there. And the rally that we have seen, definitely some short covering and a little bit of long buying in here, has continued. It's been a steady rather than explosive move to the upside, but silver closed here tonight at $19.68. Now, there are this year's range highs, you see up in that $20 area, a little above that $20 area. I'm a stale bull here in the silver, but I'm holding on. And currently in profit on my June positions, but not on the previous contracts that I rolled forward. But at any rate, I will feel more comfortable when I see this break decisively above the $20 level and consolidate those gains, finding support near the $20 level, and then extending that advance. How likely is that to be? Well, I've been rating it sort of a 60-40 possibility, and well, I should stick with that. Let's get back above the $20 level, and then the odds would become stronger. And as far as gold is concerned, I've also got a gold position as well, and not a big position, and that is higher in here today, 1,277. So that needs to get above at least above that $1,300 level and back up to the above the rising, not rising at the moment, 200-day moving average. declining 200-day moving average, and to hold up firmly enough to turn that back to the upside. I think that's a 60-40 proposition here overall, but there are some big talking bears out there trying to muscle this market to the downside, as you're probably well aware. The industrial metals, well, some of them were a little bit firmer in here today, but it's a slow process here. And one of the reasons for that slow process is the softness of demand in China and the partial change away from manufacturing quite so much in China to catering more towards the consumer economy. And that certainly has adversely affected sentiment, has this slow growth generally on a global basis overall. To me, the industrial metals are cheap. The mining shares are cheaper, definitely, and attractive as medium to longer term recovery candidates. But I think they will need to see that stronger GDP growth before they really perform strongly. So that'll take patience. But meanwhile, if you hold things like BHP and Rio and the other big ones, then the dividends are a comforting factor here overall. Now, other factors. Owen has been reviewing all the autonomy and dividend aristocrat sectors, as you know, in his updates, and getting those into the library in individual sections, which makes the search a little bit easier. You know, we're very big long-term bulls of that whole autonomy theme. I think it's all in the price, though. You know, you can buy a great company at the wrong price, and you're going to have to be very, very patient. You don't want to buy a bad company at any price, but you can buy a so-so company or a company that's seen a downward turn, buy it on a cheap price, and you'll probably do very well if it's got some real value behind it. So, you know, I look at things like Nike. What a wonderful company, classic example of a consumer-related autonomy. It's been a star performer since its low at the bottom of the stock market cycle in the late 2008 and early 2009. But, you know, this is a dividend yield under 2%. That's not that bad, but there are plenty of better dividends. But it's 25 times earnings, including 25 times estimated earnings. So that's a little bit pricey here overall. The object of the game is to buy low, sell high. And to round this out so that I don't abuse you for too much longer, what I would say is I would be careful about stock market new tech themes. I know they've all had huge shakeouts, and I feel the service provided plenty of warnings of those risks. But focus on the quality here over the lengthy medium term. The shares we like are on cheaper valuations relative to their indices and offer decent yields. And the reason for that is because we do expect a somewhat choppy period in the months ahead. This oil price crisis potentially is contributing to that overall. But I don't think that we have, I cross my fingers emotionally when I say this, I don't think we have really big downside risk, and it would require some sort of catastrophe in the Middle East widespread, which caused a massive spike in oil prices. Not impossible, but very much an outsider, hopefully. Do we get medium-term, smaller spikes to the upside? That's a much more realistic risk, and that would just keep markets choppy overall. But to conclude, I would say that we are in the foothills of that secular bull market that I have talked about in earlier big picture audio discussions. And the fundamental drivers for that would be, well, that you can buy some equities on a value basis, although that won't be producing the secular bull market. What will be is, of course, the accelerated rate of technological innovation. Big theme. I've said so much about that. I can just repeat it briefly here now. And another of my big hypotheses is that we would see lower energy prices in real terms. Now, that's more questionable because it depends on what people do. The US is benefiting from that because they've taken advantage of their opportunities in terms of developing viable renewables, yes, but also in the big one has been in their increased oil production, helped enormously, and gas production helped enormously by fracking. When's Europe going to do that? I say wistfully. So, how do countries actually deal with this over these next several tricky years before solar technology is improved even further, that it can make a more substantial contribution, preferably on the basis of panels on virtually every rooftop rather than those grotesque and somewhat dangerous great big solar farms. So, interesting environment, as always, some risks out there, as always. A long-term picture, it's better than most people think. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. Have a fantastic weekend.